It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everyone. It is Saturday, April 16th, 2022. One day after a day before Easter. Can't bring up religion. Can't discuss religion. What the hell happened? Well, we know what happened on social media the last 24 hours. About this controversy coming out of the match with Hangman Page and Adam Cole, Good Friday. Oh, I have a few things to say about that. Don't assume you know what I'm going to say, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. It is Easter weekend, and look, I'm not that religious, but I do celebrate Easter every year. My parents are still on this earth, and Easter is a very important holiday for them. I can't tell you how many of my customers, when Ash Wednesday comes, they come in, and they got the big black splotch on their forehead. I don't disrespect anybody when it comes to religion. I don't care what faith you practice. You know, even if I disagree with your views, you know, I respect that. And the disrespect that I have seen in the last 24 hours, it just, once again, it just is an example why it's just not cool. When we watch sports, isn't it more fun when you watch the Super Bowl, a football game, WrestleMania, the playoffs, the World Series, a regular baseball game? Isn't it more fun when you do it around people? Isn't it more fun to be able to hang out with your friends and debate and to say things in real time and not have to worry about being embarrassed, being yelled at, being mocked, and now it's bled into religion? Unbelievable. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Okay, couple of things right off the bat. Tonight's show is going to be short. It is the holiday weekend. I am going to see my family very early tomorrow. So I know a lot of you out there will be out for the holiday weekend. So we're going to keep the show short tonight. I still plan on doing a sit-down tomorrow, and I think we are going to take calls tomorrow. I have quite a few people that have been wanting to call in. You know, I just don't want it to – look, it's no disrespect to anybody that calls in all the time. I love the conversation. But I can tell you, going back 15 years with my early podcasting days – you have thousands of people that tune into the shows and they don't want to hear the same seven people calling in every week, you know, and then you run into that problem where people call in just to call in, you know, and that's cool and everything, but not for a show that you're trying to please everybody. So we'll probably try it again, but you know, if it runs into the same pattern, you know, then we'll stick with the live chat. Cause honestly, the last couple of weeks with the live chat has been banger, absolute banger. And speaking of banger, if you have not checked out yet the podcast Forbidden Door 2, this past Thursday I had Joe Cronin on. When I go like this, you'll see a link where you could check it out. We had a fabulous, fabulous show. 2.5 hours flew by like this. It's a pleasure to not only do a show with someone who has energy, who just wants to put out a banger, absolute best episode every time they come out. They don't wing it. And this is not a shot towards anybody else, but this is why I love doing shows with Mish. This is why I loved the episode with Jace. This is why I love the episode with Joe. I love that energy. I love when you know that someone really is there because they want to be there. So very, very cool. Very cool. And I appreciate all the feedback. Joe will be back again. I'm pretty convinced of that. And I definitely want to have him on for an episode that has nothing to do with wrestling. I think that it would be a wild conversation. Could be dangerous as well. You know, me, I try to stay out of the controversial light, but I speak my mind and I speak how I feel. And obviously it's not very popular, but I'm not trying to be part of the cool kids club. I'm trying to show respect to everyone out there that tunes in, that wants to hear straight up legit. And let's segue into it. And I want to open up with a funny comment. You ever notice something when it comes to dark matches? You ever notice something that happens in the arena whenever something is revealed that does not happen on TV? I notice a pattern. Why is it, everyone, that anybody out there who gives us a spoiler that they see live during a dark match before, after a particular wrestling show, why do the cameras always suck? Why does the cameras just look like absolute shit? I mean, that picture is not all that bad, but that picture I'm sure you have seen in the last 24 hours. But here's another one that came out. I mean, hey, I'll put a little bit. I tried to enhance it. Guys, gals, I swear to God, if you look at that picture and you didn't know what happened yesterday, you would have swore that Shane McMahon made his return. And he's got, like, someone that kind of looks like a even more jacked up Damian Priest, or maybe Damian Priest after having 500 chimichangas. Why? And please don't tell me, well, that person was sitting in section 710 and they had it all the way digital zoom. No, it's always like this. These pictures come out like, oh, look, somebody's coming down the rampway and you can't even make it out. Why even post a picture? Seriously, doesn't that look like Shane McMahon? Here comes the money. All right. L.A. Knight. Knight Model Management. That is what they are testing out right now. It appears that it will be around soon to TV. Happy 13-month anniversary, Rojo Bay. Happy Easter to you as well. You know, enjoy you and your family. Look, there's been rumors for a while that LA Knight was going to be a manager. We remember the rumors of Adam Cole. WWE wanted him to be a manager. Okay, look. I said this before about Adam Cole. I said this before a couple of weeks ago about LA Knight. And I'm sorry I got to say it again. But as we keep saying this, you understand a perfect example on how people will keep this incomplete and clickbait to trigger hits, views, and that negative exposure. There are people out there that just want to find any reason to say, fuck you, WWE. Your fucking creative sucks. Well, here's the deal. What is LA Knight and Adam Cole, what is one of their better assets? They are fucking awesome on the mic. What is something we have been saying for about 15-plus years that is missing in wrestling? Great managers. And sure, the problem with pro wrestling in the last 30 years is you don't have that many retired wrestlers out there that can really talk but also get a little bit physical. See, here is the one component about Adam Cole and about LA Knight that people will intentionally hide from you. People will intentionally ignore and not bring up. They were both supposed to wrestle still. See, I put for my thumbnail today, and I'm sorry it was not that professional. I did it at 3:30 this morning. I tried to get a head start today because it is Easter weekend, and I do have things to do, so I wanted to get things done as quickly as possible. Anybody remember Roddy Piper? Yeah, some guy, you know, from the 80s, you know. You like my little play on words? Wrestler by day, manager by night. And I spelled night with a K. Let me tell you something, guys, gals. If you were not alive in the 80s, especially around WrestleMania 1, if you were not around or a wrestling fan, or maybe you were too young to accept, maybe you just weren't into wrestling at that time, Roddy Piper, wrestler, manager, was fucking awesome. Not only did you have to deal with the asshole wrestler as an RP, the feuds with Snuka, the feuds with Hogan, the feuds with the Tonga Kid, the feuds with others. This is before he turned babyface. But he had to come out again to bring out Cowboy Bob Orton, to bring out Paul Orndorff, Dr. D, David Schultz. So you would get Roddy Piper 2-3 times a show if you were lucky. That was awesome. Am I saying that Adam Cole would be the next Roddy Piper? Am I saying that LA Knight would be the next Roddy Piper? No, absolutely not. But you mean to tell me that LA Knight, with how great he talks, that you mean to tell me that he can't help a wrestler that can't fucking talk, and yet LA Knight still goes in the ring? See, that is the aspect that everybody is going to leave out, intentionally everybody. Now, look, and let me make this clear. You know, Mace yesterday, I mean, it was interesting to see him like this. It reminded me of like a jacked up Milli Vanilli, you know, just from the glasses and the way he's dressed. Although I don't remember Milli Vanilli wearing Nikes. But the thing is, you know, I'm not going to crap on this yet. But for everyone out there that's going to say, you see, Adam Cole, that's what would have been you. Yeah. But he's going to wrestle still. LA Knight is not retiring from the ring. So when you see, be prepared. You probably got it last night after SmackDown. I don't do a SmackDown live recap anymore. We don't, no need to. We talk about it here. You're going to see it today. You're going to see it tomorrow. You're going to see it next week. People just destroying this. And they have the right to that opinion. I am not going to sit here and tell you that this is going to be spectacular. Knight model management. He's going to be he's almost kind of like the Robert Stone. Think about it. But, you know, so I don't know how I feel about the Knight model management, the KNN, KMM. Wait. Yeah, KMM. Wasn't that like a hip-hop group back at the time? KLN? No, I think that was KLN. E-I-E-I-I, something like that. I don't know. KLM. Not BLM, KLM. So look, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And again, everybody has a right to their opinion. I respect it. But if they leave out the aspect that this guy is going to continue wrestling, and it's going to be kind of like of what Roddy Piper was doing. If they leave all that out, then they are purposely pushing a specific narrative as a reason, because they know their audience probably shits on this, hates it, just wants a reason to say this to WWE, and that is totally unfair. That is disrespectful for LA Knight, because I guarantee you LA Knight, even if he's handed chicken shit, I think LA Knight would love to be able to turn it into chicken salad. And when people are already crucifying it, maybe not the best word to put, say, on a Holy Saturday, kind of little tease where I'm going to go later on. I should bring it out right now. I had no problem with the segment with Adam Cole and Hangman Page yesterday. I had no problem with it at all. It was something else. The crown, the barbed wire. So I'm just giving you a little spoiler right now. I had no problem with the spot. But if you're really an LA Knight fan, you know, don't judge this before it happens. And, you know, be a little bit thorough about it. Be a little bit honest about it. Don't keep specific things out of it just because it makes your rant or your viewpoint or your tweet or your blog or your article or your podcast sound much more powerful. Anybody could write 160 characters, 320 characters. Anybody could write something that Like, oh my God, look at all these thousands of people that like what I said. Yeah, what the fuck does that do? They're going to sleep with you? They're going to hang out with you? They're going to start chatting with you? No. You wrote something nasty. Everybody agreed with it. And then what? You need more. And that's where we segue to Adam Cole and Hangman Page. Like I said, today is going to be a little bit of a shorter show. But I definitely want to talk about Hangman. Oh, you know what? I would be disrespectful if I didn't say this also. Mace. Retribution, character, over. I like my M&Ms without peanuts, okay? I'm a heterosexual guy. But I will tell you, Mace has that look, that attractive look. All right, yes, they had a lot of makeup on him. And remember, I even said maybe you put Mace in that group with Edge and Damian Priest. The problem is Mace is on SmackDown, and I don't think they just want to move him to Raw just for that. So they took the makeup off of him, and they're making him more of like a model. You know what? Let's give Mace a chance. The guy actually could work. This may work out. It may not. But Mace, not excellent on the mic. LA Knight is spectacular on the mic. Adam Cole is spectacular on the mic. And that's why when I heard about Adam Cole, my first question was, he's still wrestling, right? If he does this, right? He's still wrestling, right? And the answers I got was, oh, yeah. Think Roddy Piper. Everybody I talked to behind the scenes, think Roddy Piper. So when I hear LA Knight possibly being in that role, hey, if somebody say, you know, this is kind of like shades of what Roddy Piper used to do back in the 80s, that's a fucking compliment. And guess what? LA Knight will probably help bring up Mace a little bit as well. So let's give it a chance. All right. Adam Cole and Hangman Page had a main event yesterday on Rampage. It was a decent match. Didn't feel like pay-per-view quality. Kind of felt like something was lacking on it. But those two guys still put out a tremendous, tremendous effort. I was a little bit concerned when Hangman Page did a moonsault to the outside wearing cowboy boots. I mean, look, you know, I'm not saying he's not styling, and I'm not saying that Hangman Page is not a great wrestler. He is. But there's just something about, like, when people create cowboy boots, they're not made to be jumping off of 20 feet high and landing onto some type of solid, you know, floor, concrete. You twist your ankle, you know, you do some damage. Especially the bottoms, they slip. I'm sure he probably has guards underneath it as well. That kind of got me nervous. The finish of the match, putting Adam Cole through that table the way he went out, down with the dead eye. You know, he this close, you know, from a very serious injury. But what also happened yesterday was barbed wire was used a little bit. Now, the barbed wire originally was glued to a chair, and Hangman Page, we thought, was going to use the barbed wire chair to the back of Adam Cole. I didn't think it was going to be to the head. Didn't happen. I thought Cole was going to use it. Didn't happen. Instead, Hangman Page pulls the barbed wire off of the folding chair. Then originally he's wrapping it around his arm. And, you know, obviously barbed wire, you know, it hurts. I mean, you could dig your own arm with it. I mean, shit happens. So then what he decides to do is he decides to wrap it around Adam Cole's head and puts them through a table. And, yes, I did see people online immediately yesterday say, wow, Crown of Thorns on Good Friday. A little bit tasteless, AEW. Good Friday, anybody that is a Catholic who does practice or knows religion or, you know, has some faith, they understand the importance of Good Friday. And I'll be honest with you, I had no problem with the spot. As a Christian, as a Catholic, you know, I didn't feel like AEW was trying to put it in the face of Catholics. We have seen barbed wire wrapped around people's heads before. I understand why some people legitimately may have been a little bit insulted by it. And let me explain why. And this is why the cesspool, the absolute low shit, the garbage of the internet wrestling community not only came out last night, but they doubled down today, and I'll tell you why. There are definitely fans out there that don't like AEW, that aren't even Christian, that don't care about religion, that don't care about Jesus Christ, that don't care about him being nailed to the cross, that will use this as a reason to shit on AEW. We just talked about it with LA Knight. There are people out there that will leave out that LA Knight will be wrestling quite a bit. And it's going to be kind of, they will leave that aspect out to fit their narrative to bash WWE. It happens on both sides. So there are definitely people that are going to take advantage of this. And they are low lives as well. Absolutely. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. It's one thing to see someone negatively react to this and say, hey, Warner Media, this is what you do on Good Friday. Okay. You might disagree with that person. We may also feel that that person is just using this as ammo because they don't like AEW. I get it. What about the people out there that had no problem with the spot, but are religious? I had no problem with the spot. I'm not really religious, but there are a lot of people out there that do celebrate Easter, that do celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. And what preceded yesterday were people laughing that this spot was done on Good Friday. There is this, and I have said it for what, 10, 15 years now. I know it is boring for some of you who have been loyal with me for so long, but we see this before anyone else. Look at Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. Last month, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I said, slow burn, Sammy and Ty Conti turning heel. I got so much negative feedback on this channel. DT, what the hell are you talking about? There's nothing about them that they're here. Where do you see that they're turning heel? Oh, I hope you watch Battle of the Belts tonight. I hope you watch Battle of the Belts tonight. We see things before a lot of others do. And the thing is that, you know, I get it. There are people out there who aren't religious. There are people out there who are like, oh, give me a fucking break. There was nothing religious about this. And again, I had no problem with the spot. But if you look closely, I saw a guy that owns a wrestling promotion, a well-respected wrestling promotion, turn around and say, oh, we fucking celebrate Jesus' birthday on Christmas. What the fuck do we have to celebrate 3-4 days in a row? Go, all these people online, go ahead, now do Ramadan. Now do Ramadan. I dare you. I dare you. What the fuck we got to celebrate a whole week for? What the fuck does Jesus on Christmas Day have to do with celebrating 3 days straight? Tell me, what does that have to do with this spot? Nothing. It has zero to do with this spot. Everybody in that toxic community, heroin. It's heroin to the heart. It's heroin to the mind. They have to write anything that gets them attention. And when they see that it sparks a nerve, they double down, they triple down, they quadruple down. You know what you will see tonight? You know what you'll see tomorrow and next week? You will see people calling out wrestling fans who were offended by this spot because of Good Friday. Okay, that's fine. What about all of everyone else that is writing 2, 3, 4, 10 posts mocking religion, mocking Easter, mocking this, mocking that? Like I said, the owner of a wrestling promotion say, what the fuck? And he has a right to that opinion. But what you see since last night is you see this group of people, and a lot of them are very powerful people, and they will mock, laugh, make fun. I saw Bischoff, and look, I'm not singling out any one person, you know, because different people do it for different reasons, but I saw Bischoff get a little offended, not at the spot, but he's offended, like, why are people, like, laughing that some people are offended because this happened on Good Friday? You know, why is that funny? And this proceeded with people, and the weird thing about it is, the people who really were offended by this wrote maybe one or two posts about it. The people who were angry at the fans offended by this wrote it 2, 3, 4, 10 times. It is disturbing. It is fucking awful. No, I don't think AEW did anything wrong. No, I don't think Warner Media should be contacted. But they just sit back and watch the people who hardcore support them, important people, people with huge followings, they just sit back and don't say a goddamn thing about it. So for all those people that found it funny to mock Good Friday, again, not the spot, but to mock other people because some may have been offended by it, go do Ramadan now. I beg you, please. You know, when you said, what do we got to celebrate 3 straight days for Jesus when we do Christmas Day? Okay, talk about Ramadan and how they got to fast and all that. Why don't you talk about that? What the fuck? Please, or any of them, somebody, do other religions. And you see how it's handled. Let's see if you can handle the reaction that comes back. Internet wrestling community is filled with toxic pussies, with fragile upon fragile. The ones, and here's another thing too. There are a lot of those people who claim to have these high morals that they don't tolerate this, they don't tolerate that, fuck Hulk Hogan, fuck this, fuck that, fuck this, and they're the first ones to come out of the gate to throw shade at other people. Some of those biggest people with these high morals are the ones who have the biggest, guiltiest consciousness. They have the most guiltiest of conscience because those are the ones that are guilty the most. And every so often, they reek their ugly head. I'm telling you, when I said 10, 15 years ago that social media is like heroin for some people, they have to be noticed. They have to write 1, 2, 5, 10, 50 things. They have to keep just jabbing at it and jabbing at it and jabbing at it and jabbing at it because they got to get that acknowledgement. They got to get that 100 likes. They got to get that 1,000 likes. They got to get this. Look, I wrote last night. All I wrote was, LA Knight will also wrestle besides being a manager. Yeah, that's news. That's news. LA Knight will also wrestle. I think like 10 people liked it. 10. If I post pictures of me eating avocado, I'll get 60 likes. It is just people, just not everybody. But what has happened in the last 24 hours with this, again, the spot, no problem with. But when I see people now who are going to virtue signal and call out the people that got offended by this, why don't you address the people who are using this to mock Easter, mock religion, mock Jesus, just to trigger people, to anger people more. Just the fuck up. If you don't want religion put into this match, then don't fucking write it 25 times afterwards. Please, do Ramadan. I beg you, please. Just do the same thing and let's see what happens. Unbelievable. And I'm not even a religious guy. Not even a religious guy, so. Okay, all right. Shout out to VJ. Loves the show. Helped him get through a lot, especially COVID. I'm glad to hear that. I hope everybody's having a good night, even if you don't celebrate Easter. I hope you're having a good weekend. Weather is finally starting to turn for the better. You know, the numbers on COVID are starting to go down. I know that there's like bunch of different variants now. Just be careful. Just be careful. We've been through this for over 2 years now. You have, you know, the smarts. You look at your surroundings. You know, if somebody, you know, is coughing up a lung, you know, you might want to, like, get out of that room or, you know, you just be careful. Be careful. All right. Let's talk quickly. Now, I really don't want to talk about Battle of the Bots. Battle of the Belts, too. These are the matches. These are the matches that are going down tonight. Sammy Guevara taking on Scorpio Sky, who is the current TNT champion. Jonathan Gresham defending the Ring of Honor championship against Dalton Castle. Nyla Rose trying to take the AEW Women's Championship with Thunder Rosa. By the end of the show, I'm sure the matches will be done. And maybe we could do spoilers. Look, what I said about Sammy earlier has nothing to do whether he wins or loses. It's the crowd reaction. And we could talk about that now. We can talk about that because it doesn't affect what went down in this match. You know, for people out there that didn't understand why 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, I said Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti are going to be two of the biggest heels in AEW, and it's happening right before your eyes, and you don't even know it. My original perception was, okay, now batting for Brandi Rhodes and Cody Rhodes, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. But it wasn't that cut and dry because Cody Rhodes legitimately did not want to be a heel. Brandi Rhodes didn't want to be a heel either. But she had this attitude and persona about her that comes off heelish. So that's why Brandi had a hard time getting over. But let me tell you something. Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara are genius. I am a big Sammy Guevara fan. And I love what is going down right now. Because a lot of people out there don't even understand that they are part of the reason why this happened. See, here's the thing. When Sammy Guevara broke up with his ex, they got engaged on TV, they broke off. That's what it happens in relationships. It happens. Whether you're a famous person or someone down the block, it happens. People, you know, and guess what? They might have gotten engaged originally because their relationship might have been lacking. And maybe they thought that would light the spark. You don't think people have done that? You don't think people have gotten married just to, like, try to light that spark that kind of dwindled out? See, the problem is people online don't want to be fed truths. They don't want to be told because it's boring. Again, we look at the LA Knight thing. You look at other things. You put out the facts and people will ignore it. They don't want that. They want a reason to yell. They want a reason to scream. They want a reason to vent, put things down. Life sucks. So I got to make other people, I got to take it out on other people. So when Sammy broke it off with his ex and he started dating Ty Conti, they were very close and they started dating. Ty Conti became the evil person. And honestly, from everyone that I know, not many, but everyone that I know that has met Ty Conti has said that she's a nice girl. She's not cocky or stuck up like that. She took her social media offline about 6 weeks ago to 2 months ago when everybody was going after her because of what went down. And Sammy was getting criticized for cheating on his ex-fiance with Ty Conti. Nobody knows what went down. I was told that Sammy Guevara, here's something you may not know. I was told that Sammy Guevara and his fiance broke up shortly after they got engaged and they kept it quiet for a little while. And then they decided, okay, let's publicly announce it because Sammy had already started being involved with Ty Conti And obviously it had to become public because Sammy and Ty's relationship was going to come out and people were going to be like, well, wait, isn't he engaged to someone else? That's why it came out. But again, that is boring. That's boring, but that's the truth. I'd rather give you the truth. So once Ty Conti took her social media down because she was becoming the home wrecker and everything like that, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti had to make a conscious decision. Do we take this and run with it and take the heel side of this? You know, okay, you don't like it, bite me. Oh, too bad. You mad? So what happened? Ty Conti, if you look at her social media account before she took it down for a little while, she online, one of the nicest people online. When she came back, all she kept writing is, you mad, you mad, you mad. She kept putting it in everybody's faces. Oh, me and Sammy, we're in the Poconos. I don't know what countries they're in. They're in Guatemala. We're here. We're on the beach. We're at dinner. We're this, we're that, we're this. Videos, YouTube, this, this, and that. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And she was just poking and poking and poking and poking and poking. And you had people that are on their side. They're like, why are people mad at them? Why are they booing Sammy? Why are they booing? They can't be that stupid. Even if, look, again, I'm a big fan of Sammy Guevara. I love what Sammy and Ty are doing. I saw that 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But, you know, I also will say, yeah, they are heels. And they tried to put it with Dan Lambert to try to, you know, soften the blow, and it didn't work. It just got the fans angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. So now, Ty, the final chapter to this is they started bringing Ty out on TV with Sammy. And I don't know if you've noticed, right? Maybe you wear it at the beach. Maybe you wear it at a bar. Maybe you wear it in your backyard. But she's wearing these jeans where the cheeks of her ass are sticking out. And she's kissing Sammy on camera. And all those little actions are actions to piss people off. You mad? You mad? How many times has she written, you mad? You mad? You mad? So this was their slow burn. And tonight, the slow burn turns into a massive fire. And again, I am ecstatic about it. Because look, unfortunately, in real life, people break up. Sammy is not a bad guy for breaking up with his ex. Ty is not a bad woman because now Sammy is dating her. You know, shit happens. You know, this is real life. And real life is the reason why this went so well for them. Because people online want to have that intimate personal connection with wrestlers, with Tony Khan, with other big, that's why you see it all the time. You know, a wrestler will just post a picture of them in front of a restaurant and you'll have the same people every time a minute later. Oh my God, I was there last year. You got to try the hibachi chicken. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. The person could say, wow, I just took a shit and it wouldn't come out. And then the same person will go back. Did you ever try Dulcolax? You just, and meanwhile, there's no time, but they just want to feel like they have that personal connection with famous people. And then you see online now, people think they're famous themselves. You know, I'm not famous. I'm a nobody. I'm a regular person, just like everyone else out there. But there are people out there that you look at their profiles, they think that they're in Hollywood. They think that they should be cast in the next role. I mean, and good for them. Hey, good for them. But that intimate connection of Sammy and Ty's relationship being thrown, I mean, in it, shoved in everybody's face, that was designed to turn them into monster heels. Bravo to Sammy Guevara and bravo to Ty Conti. And I'm sorry if what I said was kind of boring. Let me say this without revealing anything. You probably could figure it out who it is too, but another reason why I do this. I do it because I respect everybody out there who takes the time to support what I do. I feel like I'm doing something wrong if I'm lying to you or if I'm taking an incomplete side just to, because I know you want that certain emotion, praise, anger, whatever it is. You know, I feel you deserve honesty, and then you make your decisions however you want to make them. You're not children. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about somebody in WWE, and this person worked, you've seen him on TV, works behind the scenes. Anyway, long story short, a person, you know, has got a family. Got a family, kids, wife, responsibilities. And the WWE grind is not for everyone. And this person, you know, knew that he was going to work up to a certain date and then get out of there. Got to spend time with my family. My wife needs me at home. My new kid needs me at home. I can't do what I did before. Remember when I talked about the AEW and the lifestyle and some of the people that you know, that picture that they fill over there? You know, there is a certain lifestyle that is more adapted for AEW compared to other companies out there. And anyway, long story short, this person, you know, got criticized for some of their work with WWE. Got criticized. I mean, got their ass handed to them on show after show after show after show after show. And everybody put down that this person was let go because of their awful work. And that just wasn't true. And I put it out there. And I even, when I told Mish behind the scenes, I said, look, I'm going to talk about this. I said, you know, I don't know if you know, but this is why this person left and everything like that. So he's like, wow, I had no idea. So we talked about it and I brought it out there and everything. And I said, look, I know it's boring, everyone, but this person did not get canned because of this or this or this. This person left because they got a brand new family and a lot of responsibilities. It's, you know, and had to step back for a while. That's it, period. You look at Scotty Too Hotty. Scotty Too Hotty left WWE. He wanted to still wrestle. He doesn't have many years left that he can do it in the ring and not be totally embarrassed by it. There was a lot of things on Scotty Too Hotty's bucket list, and every year that goes by, he doesn't have those opportunities anymore. You don't think Scotty Too Hotty wouldn't go back to WWE as a trainer maybe 5-10 years from now? Yeah, that's possible. But the thing is, it's not always controversy. Sometimes it's family, bucket list, age, health, responsibilities. And, you know, I think we were the only show that actually put out the real reasons why this person stepped back. And I got an awesome message from that person and said, hey, man, thank you. Thank you for telling it straight up and saying exactly what happened. And I wrote back, I said, look, I know it's not sexy what I said, but I feel it's disrespectful if I don't tell the truth. The person was very, and I'm a nobody. You think I have any ties to this person? No. But the person took their time out to thank me and say, I really appreciate you being honest and telling it like it was. No one, for the most part, was doing that. And that's why I do what I do over here. We could take a totally different attitude here and get 10 times people tuning in, but I can't do that here. I got to be straight up with everyone. So, all right, we got to talk about Tony Khan shifting the blame of that wet fart debut, which was Satnam Singh. And again, it's hilarious and busted open. I'm a little surprised. Busted open, I'm a little surprised. Because when they had Tony Khan on Friday, they totally steered away from, I thought was the biggest problem was Satnam Singh's debut. And it happened a little bit tonight. And since few people in the chat are saying that it already went down, I guess I could talk about it. But before we even get to that part, you know, we saw what happened on Dynamite. The lights went off. The end of Dynamite, they came back on, and Satnam Singh is in the ring. And it was awful. And once again, thin skin Tony Khan, who can't just say, look, you know, it wasn't good. You know, it wasn't, you know, we'll learn from that. You know, with this, that, whatever. Or you defend it. You defend it. You know what Tony Khan did? He put the blame on someone else. When things are good, he will take full credit for it. And when things are bad, he will shift about. Look at Max Caster's rap. Oh, that's because someone else was doing a production. Remember what I said? Where were you, Tony? Where was everybody on your staff when it was blasting through the speakers in the back of Daly's place when Max Caster was saying what he was saying? Did everybody go outside and buy Carvel? Was everybody outside, you know, maybe smoking up a little bit? You know, nobody asks those questions because they're too easy. And they're not gotcha. It's just as simple. But what about everybody that heard it in the back? Nobody told you for a whole week? See, this is why we don't do interviews. Because I would feel I would have, it's not being a dick. It's an honest question. When Dixie Carter, and that made me a little famous back then, when Dixie Carter did that interview, I think with either Sports Illustrated or Forbes, and she said, TNA is cash flow flow positive. And they let her get away with that shit. Cash flow positive. Do people even understand what the fuck that means? They let her get away with it. And it was such a deceptive thing to say, and nobody called her out on it. I immediately gave everybody a financial lesson of what cash flow positive is. And I don't want to get into it and relive it here right now, but if you have $50,000 in credit card debt and your house is in foreclosure, but you have $1,000 in your banking account right now, you're cash flow positive. So Tony Khan goes on Busted Open, and he shifts the blame to a 30-year veteran in wrestling. He puts the blame of Satnam Singh, lights off, lights, clap off, clap on. Instead of just defending it or, you know, taking response, he's blamed it on someone else. I have the exact quote. And look, I don't even know who to credit here. Because, you know, a lot of people heard the interview and a lot of people typed it up. And I go on five different websites and each website is like, make sure you credit us for saying it. I'm like, but there's five different websites saying the same thing. So I credit Pro Wrestling, Fightful.Torch, blah, 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 there's Schmuck.com. Tony Khan says, and I quote, at the same time, turning the lights off for somebody people didn't recognize. It's a great point. To be honest, the person who brought up turning the lights off has over 30 years experience in pro wrestling. When they brought it up to me, I was only looking at the pros, and I should have thought about the cons, because that is my job as a person who decides what goes in and who filters out these ideas. We have all these people in the room, and somehow not one person brought up the negative. When we did it, all the negatives were very obvious. I'm not going to say who it is, and I don't need to list all the credentials of all the great people in the production meeting, but it was a lot of veteran people. Nobody said that, and when it happened, I agreed with the fans completely. Jerk them off more, Tony. I hope those 30-year veterans say, you know what, fuck you. When that contract is over, fuck you. I hope Vince McMahon says, look, whatever you're making in AEW, I'll add a cent to it. Look, Tony, you know, they gave me more money. Sorry. And let Tony find out later on that they, if they were making $340,000 before and Vince McMahon gave them $340,000 and one penny. I hope that happens. What a pussy fucking thin skin move. 30-year veteran. Fuck you. Seriously. Seriously. That sucked. And again, do you remember years ago? Remember I said what Dixie Carter's number one problem was? She has no constructive catalyst there. Remember I said if you, when people used to say to me, hey, DT, would you ever consider working for TNA or working for anyone else? And I always said what those companies need is they need someone to always look at the opposite side of things. If you feel what you're going to put on TV is blue, I have to go out there and say, no, 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 well, this is why it's red. You need someone that no matter how great something is, you need someone else say, yeah, but you got to look at it like this as well. You know, and let me tell you something. When Tony Khan pulls this, I should have listened to the fans have said a lot of things about certain things in AEW that absolutely suck. You know, I have none against Wheeler Yuta, but what happened to Fuego del Sol? Fuego del Sol, wasn't he a made man? You know, I mean, yeah, this was just such a bullshit move. And I tell you, I'm so disappointed and busted open, but I'm not surprised either. Because there was a bigger problem. There was a huge problem with the Satnam Singh debut. And Busted Open didn't even mention it. Joe Cronin and I talked about it on Thursday. And I can't tell you how much email feedback I got from people that were like, yeah, man, I originally was going to tweet something yesterday. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. I use Twitter to promote my stuff, you know, announce a couple of things. Got a big announcement coming very, very soon. I'll mention it at the end of the show later on, little teaser. But, you know, you got this climate, and with Tony Khan, I was going to tweet yesterday, hey, I want to do a live chat party with all the Ring of Honor fans that can't wait to see Satnam Singh in Ring of Honor. For all you Ring of Honor fans out there right now, nothing against him with his size, his NBA background. He's Indian. He's male. He's single. He's married. He's got a mustache. He's got a beard. He's got pubic hair. He doesn't have pubic hair. He could wrestle. I don't give it. How many Ring of Honor fans are excited? Oh, my God, Satnam Singh! It's in the Ring of Honor arena! That's if Don West, I guess, was in. Not only you introduce him, you have him in a Ring of Honor storyline. Samoa Joe just won a Ring of Honor TV title. And right now, Ring of Honor is a name only. Belts could be defended. People could sign, you know, hey, Jonathan, would you work Battle of the Belts? Not under contract, or I am under contract, or if I'm not under contract, here's $5,000. Okay. You know, you'll see wrestlers show up. Nice payday. Why wouldn't you? Ring of Honor is still a name only, and it should be. You know, Tony Khan, I think he will do right with Ring of Honor. But not for nothing. When Ring of Honor was on TV, when Ring of Honor was doing iPay-per-views, Ring of Honor's numbers were shit. Just to say it bluntly, they were shit. And you look at from the Kari Silkas to the Gabe Sapolskis and everyone else, they worked hard. They worked their asses off, and the wrestlers worked their asses off. And there was so much good gold content and still did not catch on with the masses of fans. So now you try to sell me that this Satnam Singh debut was because of the Discovery Warner Media merger and indie and everything like that. I don't know if Warner Media really gives a shit about Ring of Honor. That's like if WWE bought Ohio Valley Wrestling and then started throwing OVW on Raw all the time, and then USA Network is going to be like, this is OVW shit. We paid for World Wrestling Entertainment, but I own it too. But I didn't pay for this. There's a reason why Ring of Honor was on whatever Access or anything like that. I don't remember TBS saying, hey, you know, we Ring of Honor. Ooh, TBS, Turner, Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. What? Now he owns it. Now suddenly they're going to want it? So to me, the deeper problem is tonight on Battle of the Belts, after Jonathan Gresham retained his Ring of Honor championship, Satnam Singh comes out again. and he comes out with Sonjay Dutt and Jay Lethal. Now, obviously, if you haven't figured it out, the storyline is Sonjay Dutt and Jay Lethal, really more than anything else. And Jay Lethal will be the one wrestling. You'll probably see Jay Lethal versus Samoa Joe very, very soon. But you're using Satnam Singh with all Ring of Honor storylines that are airing as part of AEW television. That, to me, is the bigger problem, because I don't know many Ring of Honor fans that are excited, ecstatic, that Satnam Singh is getting all this exposure under the Ring of Honor storylines, but it happened on Dynamite. Oh, this is two shows in a row that he's involved with a Ring of Honor wrestler, and it wasn't even mentioned. Nobody saw, like, why is this Ring of Honor? Why is he tied to this Ring of Honor stuff? I'm just throwing it out there because I didn't see anybody else do it. Casey is Raw, what's going on? Shout out to everybody who was around. All right, we are almost done. We'll mention quickly SmackDown and Rampage from yesterday. I think when we close it out, I'll give you the results for Battle of the Belts. So got two super chats over here. One wrestling-related, one not. Let me get into the non-wrestling first. Mike from New York, what's worse, Tony Khan or the Yankees offense? Tony Khan is, I don't have too much, he's just immature. He's just immature. Tony Khan, and because he's intimate on social media, a lot of people will trade in their authenticity card in an attempt to try to get noticed from him. I mean, you see what's out there. You notice it. It's a little bit like cringy at times, but hey, this is what it is. And it's not just wrestling. It's all across the world for various reasons. The season, baseball is still new. So I say give the Yankees a little bit more time. So me, I'm a Met fan. So, you know, but I still root for the Yankees if needed. Shout out to Casey is Raw. Great show with Joe Cronin the other day. I thank you for that. I had a blast with him. It was 2.5 hours of easy talking, and we had never had a verbal communications before, just online. And you would have thought that we've been doing shows for years. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes we overtalk each other because, you know, we don't know where the speed sweet spot is to, you know, chime in or not. But we had a awesome show the other day, and I thank Joe for coming on once again. It was a lot of fun, and definitely looking forward to having him back. All right, Mikey Ravello, Brother Don. I like that. I was, when I saw this earlier, I said, hey, I'm instead of Brother Devon, I'm Brother D Don. Brother Don, do I think this Lacey Evans sympathy rebuild is similar to how they tried to rebuild Ken Patera back in the day? And great show with Joe Cronin the other night. Thank you. Lacey Evans, their build is zero. Zero. Like Ken Patera. It's not even similar to Sergeant Slaughter, because Sergeant Slaughter turned on his country. Then Sergeant Slaughter, I want my country back. All right, the only similarities with Sergeant Slaughter and Lacey Evans is the military background. And, you know, I thank Lacey Evans for his service. Sergeant Slaughter, more of a character, but that doesn't mean that he didn't beloved our troops and love our country and supported our troops and, you know, spent a lot of time with wounded warriors. Sergeant Slaughter is a very good man. But no, Lacey Evans with Ken Patera is nothing similar. And the main reason why, and I understand what you're saying, Ken Patera was gone for a while. They brought him back, and he told a lot of sympathy, sob stories about his personal life and WWF at the time. Their attempt was for us to feel sorry for Ken Patera. He wanted a second chance, and it fell flat. Lacey Evans is nothing like Ken Patera. Ken Patera went to jail for, what was it, beating the shit out of cops? throwing a brick through like a McDonald's because it was closed and they wanted food. Ken Patera's background is nothing like Lacey Evans. And I like Ken Patera. I'm not throwing shade on Ken Patera. But Ken Patera, Lacey Evans, there is nothing similar. Lacey Evans' promo yesterday, you know, I had gotten a lot of this in advance. If anybody was in the watch party yesterday, I was dropping spoilers all throughout the night. When the Lacey Evans, I told everyone, I said, get ready for the tissues, everyone. The Lacey Evans promo is going to take a very dark, emotional turn tonight. And it did. She was talking about her father and mental health. And again, you know, a lot of people don't take a step back. You know, what WWE tries to do, remember when we used to say that WWE is like a walking PSA announcement, a public service announcement? How many storylines in John Cena was a walking PSA banner. So many of his storylines were public service announcements. Lacey Evans telling legit stories about her family, about her father, about alcohol, about abuse, about hiding from the law. Maybe we don't have many family members who have hidden from the law, but we have had people battle abuse, mental health. And those are very, very raw, deep things. And I get it. There's a lot of wrestling fans that don't want their wrestling to be that deep. They just want to have fun. But for some people out there, they're looking for someone to inspire them. And Lacey Evans definitely inspired a lot of people. When she talked about being in the military yesterday, crowd popped. Crowd popped. And, you know, again, several years ago, you know, we thought that this is where they should have gone with Lacey Evans, but reintroducing Lacey Evans and having us see her human side, she turns into a megastar. You already know the backdrop. So this just shows the struggle, the fight, the battle. Never quit, learn, get knocked down, pick yourself up, deal with mental health, deal with this, deal with that. Makes you stronger. There are so many PSAs involved in what Lacey Evans is doing. Ken Patera was not doing a public service announcement. They were just like, we don't know how to fucking bring him back. All right, let's just, you know, put him in a jail cell and, you know, let him tell his story that, you know, he just wants redemption. Lacey Evans is not looking for redemption. Lacey, she was the victim of bad storyline, horrible stuff with Corbin, but she's not the victim, you know, a criminal. She's not looking for redemption. She's looking to show everyone that she can do it. Lacey Evans had a rough fucking life. A rough life. And what she said yesterday was not exaggerated. It's a very deep, dark story to tell on WWE television. But let me tell you something. Lacey Evans will be the focus of a lot of articles, a lot of inspiring stories, a lot of interviews, a lot of media. When it comes time to visit troops, you're going to see she is going to be kind of like the female Sergeant Slaughter. You know, but again, you know, the build is nothing like Slaughter and it's nothing like Patera. So I don't have a problem with it. I'm fine with what I saw the first 2 weeks. We will see another one again next week. So yesterday on SmackDown, the big news around SmackDown yesterday was setting up the tag team title unification match. And like I said, this is temporary, few months. Right now, WWE feels that there are no other tag teams that can really step up where they need to have two champions right now. So Viking Raiders, forget it. Alpha Academy, you had your chance. Street Profits, you're going to have to wait a while. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, they're teasing a split yesterday. So WWE right now feels that they don't have enough tag teams that they should keep two belts going for a little while. This is just temporary. Whoever becomes unified tag champs will be on both brands. So as long as they're on both brands, those networks will be fine with it. Again, this is not a, hey, I predicted it, I told you so, I was right all along. No. This kills opportunities. And it's hurting. It's some heavyweights more than anything else, but it's just temporary. It's an interesting storyline. It's an interesting stipulation. Doesn't happen often, and they're going with it. By summertime, the end of summer, beginning of fall, we should start seeing things revert back to what they were before. So, something very interesting on SmackDown yesterday. Well, I should say that wasn't on SmackDown yesterday. So RK-Bro and the Usos set up their title unification match. Main event had Riddle beating Jimmy Uso. It was a fun match. You know, that RKO at the very end was kind of sloppy. And then, you know, we thought that we would see some more physical interaction between the two teams. Mostly Riddle was the one to get it. Ricochet retaining the Intercontinental title, beating Jinder Mahal. Drew McIntyre beating Sami Zayn by countout. He runs out again. So next week there's going to be a lumberjack match, so Sami Zayn cannot run. So basically what this ended up doing was it gave us 3 weeks of Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre, and they really never had a full-blown match. That's how you build 3 weeks. Really 1 week into three. That's what they did. As we brought up 2 weeks ago, they did do the Drew Gulak segment with Charlotte Flair. You know, 2 weeks ago when Ronda Rousey, we heard about the I Quit stuff, they wanted Charlotte to put an announcer in a submission move to show that Charlotte Flair is a submission specialist. They didn't have anybody. So there was rumors that Drew Gulak, we talked about it on one of the episodes, Drew Gulak was going to be put in as a SmackDown commentator and he'll get his ass kicked from Charlotte Flair. And that's what ended up happening yesterday. Drew Gulak doing a little bit of an interview segment. Wasn't bad. Was not bad. In the end, Charlotte Flair put in the figure eight. We actually were talking about it last night before it even happened with Gulak. If everybody remembers yesterday, I said, get ready for the smack in the figure eight. This is before there was even any confrontation with Charlotte or Drew Gulak. But it was good. Drew Gulak definitely can do this in the future. I'm sure that's not what he wants to do. But they had enough common interviews to do the segments. They just wanted someone who could take the spot and sell it well. And that's why Drew Gulak was out there. Madcap Moss beating Humberto. Next week he gets Angel. And, you know, look, they got to change Madcap's look a little bit. I think you got to trim his hair. I think you got to get rid of the suspenders. The guy has got an unbelievable physique. I know somebody has some fascination with suspenders. You look at Cross, then you look at him, and you look at Butch. And I'm probably forgetting another person or two as well. Look, suspenders work for some. They don't work for others. But I got to be honest with you, man. I am enjoying what they're doing with Butch. I'm enjoying it, man. I mean, look, him like not having much in the English language because yesterday all he said was New Day. But I'm liking it. He looks so much better. You think I want him to come out with fur and without the man bun and just like nodding his head and just being, no, they just look good with each other. I have no problem with, right now they're trying to develop the personality, the character of Butch. You're not going to be able to do it in 1 or 2 weeks. I'm not happy that he lost his first match on SmackDown, but I like how he can't be controlled and almost like they have to tie him up to stop him from just doing stuff. I think people are thinking a little bit too much with this. I think Pete Dunne is doing a good job. How else would you have brought him to the main roster? Seriously, you could have him come out wearing that fucking fur. You imagine everybody who doesn't watch NXT, what the fuck is this guy wearing this fur? You know? It was not sports entertainer territory. And that's what WWE is, whether people like it or not. Rhea Ripley over Naomi. This is just to further set up Monday's match, which we already know what's going to go down. And those were the matches yesterday. I don't know if anybody noticed. No build, no continued build with Roman Reigns and Shinsuke Nakamura. I had people asking me, DT, possible Shinsuke may be under COVID protocol? I haven't heard anything about that. Rhea Ripley, as we said Monday, she didn't have COVID. I don't believe she had COVID. They just did it as a precaution to keep her off of Raw. 4 days later, she was fine. She tested negative, so she was fine. But, you know, with Shinsuke Nakamura, though, there was no build yesterday. That is very odd with WWE. I understand they wanted all the focus on the tag belts yesterday, but you would have thought that the Nakamura-Roman Reigns stuff from the week before never went down. There was no build. And remember, May 8th is the next pay-per-view, well, premium live event. It's still a pay-per-view in certain areas. But I was very surprised. WWE rarely ever does that. You set up a feud between Roman Reigns and a contender, and they skip a week, and almost no mention. That was pretty odd. Pretty odd. It's not about selling injuries. No, 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 no. They just didn't even, like, build on it. There was just nothing. It just was matter of fact. And it was just very interesting because WWE does not normally do that. So Rampage yesterday, the match results. We had the Blackpool Combat Club over the Gun Club, club versus club. The Butcher winning a squash match, you know, just to try to give the perception that he is hard to beat. He's going to take on Wardlow on Wednesday, so you know what the outcome is going to be there. Dustin Rhodes challenging CM Punk to a match on Dynamite, which we had already talked about. There was a little teaser on social media last week with Dustin wanting to face CM Punk, and it got a good reaction on social media, so they put it on Rampage yesterday, the challenge. So we got that coming on Wednesday. Ruby Soho beating Robin Renegade in the Owen qualifier, and Hangman Page beating Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. I got to say something about this Owen tournament. On Wednesday, we have another Owen Hart tournament qualifier that's going to go down. It's going to be Britt Baker versus Danielle Camella. Okay. I have nothing against Danielle Camella, and I have nothing against Robin Renegade and even her sister, her twin sister, who they tried to do twin magic yesterday. It didn't help. Why are these people in Owen Hart qualifying matches? You know, I know, look, Owen Hart, beautiful person, tragically dying, you know, just an awful moment, you know, just sad to not have Owen in wrestling for this many years. These tournaments are very special because they're at the blessing of his wife and they're actually celebrating it. But I see these names being put in as qualified. I know they're not in the tournament, but to qualify for the tournament, that is just, in my opinion, fucking awful. It's like you do a qualifying match for, I don't know, the Shad Gaspard Cup, and then you have Kofi Kingston take on Jose Cuervos, who's not even a contracted wrestler. Nothing against Jose Cuervos. What the fuck it makes him so special that he should have the privilege and the opportunity to be in the Shad Gaspard Cup? You know, you understand what I'm saying? So this Owen Hart thing, it's nothing against some of the women, but why does Robin Renegade or Danielle Camella, why do they get the opportunity to possibly be in this? You know, I brought up something yesterday. I brought up two things yesterday. Obviously, it doesn't get traction because nobody wants you to know this. First of all, yesterday was exactly 30 days of Thunder Rosa's AEW Women's Champion. 30 days as of yesterday. Her total TV time across Dynamite and Rampage was 3 minutes. 30 days New champion, 3 minutes. Add one more for you. Little trivia contest. Oh, if you really want to piss someone off with this one. On Dynamite and Rampage, I'm gonna tell you what I said yesterday, but I'm going to up it a little bit here. As of yesterday, I think Dynamite is, it's been around for, I think, what, 926 days? Dynamite, the original debut was like October 2020. So it's about almost 1,000 days that Dynamite, you know, since AEW Dynamite debuted. How many wins across Dynamite and Rampage do you think the Varsity Blondes, Private Party, Top Flight, and the Acclaimed? Okay, the four tag team pillars in AEW. Top Flight, Private Party, the Acclaimed, Varsity Blondes. In those 1,000 days, 926 days, how many wins do you think those teams have combined across Dynamite and Rampage? I'm not going to give you the answer. You can look it up. But I will give you a little hint of it. Hint. The Varsity Blondes, how many wins do you think they have on Dynamite and Rampage since they debuted? I will give you that answer now. Guys, gals, how many wins do you think the Varsity Blondes have had combined on Dynamite and Rampage? It's a low number. I'll give you a hint. It's a little low number. Michael Gonzalez says 11. Okay. All right. Anyone else? How many wins? Okay. Kevin Milwaukee says 3. VJ says 2. One Fall says 7. All right. Okay. All right. Well, we do have someone who predicted it right. Kevon Lewis, you are absolutely right. In the history of AEW Dynamite and later Rampage, the Varsity Blondes have a total of 0 wins on Dynamite Rampage. Not 2022. The entire. 0. I think the Acclaimed has 2. I think they might have 2. Top Flight either has 0 or has 1. And Private Party, I think Private Party has not won a match on Dynamite or Rampage in almost, what, 650 days? Almost 2 years, everyone. When you start really paying close attention, why is it that you have some of the teams I just mentioned who have 20, 30 wins and one of them is on Dynamite and Rampage? Elevation and Dark are YouTube. Are we to start thinking that Tony Khan uses Dynamite and Rampage to fulfill his fantasies and all the big names and all the younger stars to get the younger fans attached to? You know, we'll pad their numbers on Dark and Elevation, but when it comes to Warner Media, they get nothing. They get thrown into factions and nothing else. The Varsity Blondes have never had a win as a tag team on Dynamite and Rampage. Top Flight has 1 or 2. The total for all the teams combined, I think, is 3. I think it's 3. It's between 3 and 5, and I'm pretty sure it's around 3. It's either 5 or less. So you think about that. Almost 1,000 days since Dynamite debuted, and you take the Acclaimed, who were number one contenders, the Varsity Blondes, who were number one contenders, Top Flight, which I'm pretty sure were number one contenders at some point, and Private Party, which absolutely were. And then you realize that you only need one hand to count how many wins they have had combined on Dynamite and Rampage. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. That is Peter Avalon territory. See, there's a lot of smoke and mirror shit going on. But again, that is so unpopular. Because see, when you like something, this is what people need to understand. This is why Twitter is killing a lot of the fun to be a wrestling fan on both sides. Because when you like something, you don't even have to comment about it. somebody makes a good criticism about AEW. Good criticism. Okay, look, I won't say it. I don't want to get the heat. I'll let someone else say it. And they say it, and you agree with it, and all you do is hit that like button. There are people that will click the word likes and go down the list and see who is liking that shit. So you got people now that won't even click a like button because they know that people will realize that they liked what someone else criticized. That's how bad it has become. I'm not making anything up. You could see for yourself. That is awful. That is freaking awful. Yeah. It's not even, I mean, look at the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders have crazy amount of wins. But you see, I put that out there yesterday. It only got about 10 likes. Because if somebody clicks on it, what are you saying? Why do you think that's good? You want to, Dynamite preview for Wednesday. We have a coffin match. Andrade versus Darby Allin. By the way, we're going to jet out of here in about 5 minutes. Because as of now, like I said, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I think we are going to take calls. We'll do the chat as well, live chat all night long. But I think we'll open the phone lines. Hopefully, you know, we mix it up a little bit. If you haven't called in before, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock is your chance. If we get the same thing like we've done before, then we're just going to stick with live chat for a little while. But Wednesday, we got a coffin match on Andrade versus Darby Allin. CM Punk versus Dustin Rhodes. Britt Baker versus Danielle Carmella to qualify for the Owen Hart tournament. Gee, I wonder who's going to win there. Jungle Boy versus Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle will probably get his win back. Wardlow versus The Butcher. Hook will be making his Dynamite debut. And Tony Khan will make a huge announcement. Okay, guys, gals. I know, you know, some people are sick of the announcements. I'm never sick of announcements. You might get bored of some of the same toys, you know, type of toys revealed in cereal boxes or a Cracker Jack box, but it's always fun to still unopen some. So surprise, give me all. But it does feel like Tony Khan can't just throw things out there. They got to tease it for Dynamite, and that's what WarnerMedia wants. Remember very, very early in Dynamite's tenure that WarnerMedia didn't want surprises, you know, on Dynamite, that they wanted it announced in advance. Like, they didn't want to just have... So now they got to announce that they're going to have a surprise. You might remember that very early on. And AEW denied it, and they were lying. But what do you all think the announcement's going to be? Because I think that it should be the Trios titles that we talked about. That was one of my predictions for 2022, that they will have Trios belts. You look at the number of Trios. Now you got the Blackpool, you know, depending on what Moxley ends up doing. But then again, you know, Joe and I had a great conversation about John Moxley's imminent future. Will he stay in AEW? Will he go to WWE? There's no drama there. That's not clickbait stuff. I mean, it's, you know, that was a good combo if you want to check that out. But I personally think the announcement should be the introduction of Trios titles. And I think even though some people are getting a little bit tired of the tournaments, you know, you're always going to have tournaments in AEW. You know, once the TBS tournament was over, the Owen Hart tournament was going to kick in. Once the Owen Hart tournament kicks in, then you have the Trios titles kick in. Once the Trios titles kicks in, you're going to have another tournament to become number one contenders. There's always going to be tournaments in AEW. That's okay. That's all right. But me, if I had the powers to convince Tony Khan what the announcement should be, it should be the Trios titles. Announce that there's going to be a tournament in the fall to determine first ever Trios champions in AEW. That's what I would like. Bret Hart, I like Bret Hart. Bret Hart's one of my favorites, but, you know, that's not something that's going to generate crazy ratings or attention. Sorry. Someone said maybe it's the rumored supercard with New Japan that may take place in Chicago or later on in the year. Again, with all due respect, New Japan, their numbers are not that good in the United States. That is something for a niche audience, and it's a nice announcement. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think that is going to be the huge announcement that everyday wrestling fans would find interesting. It could be, but I don't think it's that. I really don't think it's that. I hope it's the trios titles. We'll see, but I hope it's... Antonio, I do believe we will see a trios title before the end of 2022. He should announce a tournament for the fall. You know, no need to do it right now. You know, let it sit. And remember, they're going to do qualifying matches. I don't think you need qualifying matches for trios. You know, I think that's stupid. I mean, I can understand qualifying to be part of the Owen tournament because you just want the best of the best in the tournament. But you don't want to start putting Bear Country and Fuego del Sol. You know, you don't want to start putting like three random people in there. You could put the Gun Club. You could start with 16 trios teams. I could come up with 16. And I don't think, I mean, look, there's obviously a couple that would be the favorites, but I could see them putting together 16 teams. And when you realize how long that will go, you have two tag team matches a week. You know, you have to go through 4 weeks just to get to the next round. So you could have this run on TV for two and a half months before you start narrowing it down to the finals or the semifinals. So I think that would be pretty cool if they did it for August. You know, you start in July or August. Maybe you start in... This is April. Maybe you start in June. June or July, and then you culminate by August or September. So, all right. With that said, I think we are done. I am looking at my list of topics to make sure I didn't leave anything out. No, I don't think so. We got into everything. So, look, let me know what you think about, you know, what I had to say earlier about LA Knight, about Mace, and about that situation with, you know, that happened, you know, indirectly with that match between Cole and Paige. Again, I had nothing wrong with that spot. I didn't take offense to it. I didn't think, oh my God, that looks like Jesus. I didn't think of that at all. I will say one thing in closing, though. I saw people bringing up Vince fighting God, Sandman being crucified. And, you know, I see people trying to find any religious thing that has happened in wrestling in the past. Steve Austin being crucified by Undertaker. And I will answer that with this, because I have a feeling some would have written that in the comment section. My dad taught me when I was a kid at like 6 years old. He said, son, fatso, you don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. You should learn from shitty behavior. You don't justify something stupid now by bringing up something stupid from then. You know, and that's what I saw go down in the last 24 hours as well. Oh, yeah? You think this is offensive? Well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about this? You could go with this. So you could go with that. You don't justify this because of this. I thought that was an awful argument as well. Trying to find any religious reference and like, well, he did this. Oh, well, he did this. Stupid, man. Stupid. Anyway, I am out of here. We went 90 minutes exactly. 90 minutes. I think that's a very reasonable time. We got into enough topics. So if you're around tomorrow night, Easter Sunday for some, I will be here at 8:05 p.m. for the sit-down And we will do live chat all throughout the night. Super chats are not required. They are appreciated, but they're not required. I should always say that. And we will open the phone lines tomorrow. So if you have something good that you want to discuss that you think everybody would enjoy hearing as well, join us. The phone lines will be open. They cost nothing. And we will have a banger of a show tomorrow night. So I'm going to get out of here. You all have a great night. For those who celebrate Easter, happy Easter to you and your family. And no Captain Lenny calls for tonight. We want to end on a professional, fun note. But, you know, there's no reason why we can't do it maybe next week. So be well, everybody. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.